Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, March 1st edition of Byers & Company. In studios, Congressman Rodney Davis. Plus, we'll tell you all about our countdown to opening day, your chance to win tickets to see the Cardinals in action, courtesy of Heinkel's. We'll tell you all about it next.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Tomorrow morning, join us. We've got Randy Keith, our final interview for the GOP side of the 101st. Reed Justice is going to join us. An impressive kid. He is head of the FFA organization that covers Macon County.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the exact title. It's like chapter or something.
Yeah. 16 or something. Anyway, he'll be with us. What an impressive young kid this guy is. And what we're bringing with this Ag Academy to District 61. And it's going to be pretty cool because on March 13th, which is the week after I get back from spring training next week, we are having the folks from the William Jennings Bryan High School in Omaha, Nebraska, come to Decatur. Remember, we took a trip there back in the fall to find out what they had accomplished on their campus. Now, they have an 84% reduced lunch rate, high poverty level, high minority high school, inner city school, no FFA program, no Ag Academy, and they go from that to having the largest FFA chapter in the state of Nebraska in a very short time. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to have some events, and they're going to tour ADM, and we're going to have a luncheon for community leaders, and then it's going to be a fun day. So we're going to bring them to town, show them what we're doing after they were generous enough to have us come out and learn from them. Very exciting stuff. Congressman Rodney Davis is with us. You know how big this is, what we're talking about. And here's the biggest educational factor that we have to get to. I knew there was a lot of lack of knowledge about agribusiness in the community on the part of kids. I didn't realize how big a gap there was even between adults, that parents and grandparents didn't know, and that you have to keep telling people that 2% of agribusiness jobs are farming.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, they a lot of times our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation, they think back that if you're going to be in agriculture, you're going to be on the family farm. You're going to be working hard. You're going to be taking the risk every year. But what a lot of them didn't realize is they could still have their kids achieve their goal of getting that four-year degree and go work in agribusiness.
And not even a four-year degree.
They're
all across the spectrum.
So go to make a lot of money.
Go to itstartswithag.com and the It Starts With Ag Facebook page. And we are doing a total of 22 different career paths that we're spotlighting with actual people here in this community. There's a young woman. What's her name? I apologize. I forget her name. The welder.
Oh, Renee. Yes.
Now, she is a welder for Caterpillar and went through Richland Community College.
Yep.
And
making good money, too.
Absolutely. And as Renee points out in the video with Tad, you could go work on a pipeline and make $100,000 plus a year as a welder and
with a lot less debt.
Pick your jobs. Exactly. And here's the path to get there. Or the guy from the IBEW about what it takes to become an electrician. We've got one coming about being a truck driver. You know, these are jobs that we're talking about under the agribusiness umbrella, whether you work for an agribusiness company or not. I mean, real world skills. Now, some of these are going to be food scientists, or where you're going to have more education to get to that point. All of these are pathways. They're square pegs and square holes. These are real jobs that exist in this community that kids can follow a path to get and make real money.
You are absolutely right. Think back just a few short years ago when Macon County had an 11% unemployment rate.
Yep.
If I would have had a conversation like I had with one of Caterpillar's execs a few months ago, back then, I would have pulled my hair out. But what my conversation was that Caterpillar is looking to continue to expand here in Decatur, but they have a problem filling the jobs.
And for 20 years, this has been a problem.
But you are getting to the root cause of it. We've got to focus more on workforce development. Get kids and families to understand some of the best paying jobs don't require a lot of student debt. They require an interest. If that's what you want to go into, those jobs are going to be available. And agribusiness does not have enough people in agribusiness education at all levels to fill the demand that's coming.
Which is why this new program has caught the interest with Dean Kidwell over the ACES program at the University of Illinois. We've heard from Purdue. You know, we're talking to a lot of people. I mean, this is not some pipe dream thing.
No.
And the funding from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation, which is basically this will be an FFA chapter that will be envied across the state because of the resources that they will have.
Nobody knows the potential of American agriculture better than Howard. And if you read 40 Chances, you realize his interest in investing and taking these same ideas over to third world countries to make them see that they can be sustainable in feeding themselves. Howard being engaged is going to, you know, just add to the success of this.
Well, right now, if you have a grandkid, a kid, if you go to the It Starts With Ag Facebook page, you can just like the page for a chance to win an exclusive Xbox One prize package. That's valued over $1,000. We're giving that away. All you have to do is go to Facebook to check it out. You can see the videos that we're doing and find out for yourself. These are real people. These are Decatur people. They're not, you know, actors. They're not, I mean, these are real kids, real people in these careers and very excited about it. And you can find out about the types of jobs that are possible. I mean, literally, it's pretty amazing. So whether it's going into the trades, which I am really thrilled that public education has kindly finally seen the error of their ways over the last 25 years, as far as telling every kid you have to have a 4-year degree or an 8-year degree or 6 years to get employment. That's just not true.
It's not true. And as a matter of fact, I think my generation was at about the beginning where that focus became just everybody was forced into the 4-year institution. Now, it worked for me. That's what I wanted to do. But I can tell you there are a lot of kids that I went to school with in high school that decided to go try for that 4-year degree. And the result of that was they came out with no degree and they came out with a lot of debt. And I had my daughter a few years ago when she was in junior high. I went to my old junior high school to pick up her bicycle because they took bicycle rides for PE during a certain period. And you know what they used the old shop class that I was in eighth grade for? To store the bikes. Mm-hmm. They didn't even have an industrial arts class.
No, which is just insane. And particularly when we look at these jobs that are available. You mentioned Caterpillar, ADM, Tate & Lyle. Part of the panel on this lunch we have planned is the folks from Sloan Implement. I mean, the largest independent John Deere dealer in the world. Now, you think about, okay, who buys that equipment? That's farmers, right? But who techs that equipment? You know, who works on it? Who sells that equipment? Imagine the commission on a $700,000 piece of farm equipment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
people are making serious money.
Serious money.
All right, so check it out. It starts with ag.com, and we'll have Reed in with us tomorrow morning, who is a great – he's been so super on, like, helping to advise and being, like, you know, involved in this project, even though, you know, he's a Moreau Forsyth kid, and his dad's had, you know, this great football career out there. He has been just fantastic to work with, and we're very happy, as the chapter, the whole state. These kids, you know what FFA means to these kids.
Oh,
and the skills they're learning, whether they go into an ag-related career or not, they look you in the eye, they know how to shake your hand, they know how to speak to somebody, which today's day and age with social media and everything else, there's fewer and fewer people out there even capable of doing that.
You are 100% correct. They focus on the intangibles to make that person more confident in the workplace and better able to land that job that they worked so hard for and dreamed about getting.
Yeah. So if you look at some of the articles that are up on, it starts with ag.com. Global Trade Magazine named Decatur a top 25 city for global trade. You know, you look at the, I mean, this is not imaginary. This isn't one of those, like, let's come up with a slogan. And I mean, this is real stuff. And I don't think people realize when we first put it up, and thankfully we've got the resources to educate people because of Howard's generosity, but it's like, well, black people don't farm. It's like, okay, you know, and these were adults.
Really?
You really have to understand 2% of the agribusiness world employment is actually in farming.
Mm-hmm.
2%. That means 98% of all of the other jobs, and by the way, the largest job sector in the state of Illinois, correct? I mean, agriculture leads our economy in this state. It's not going anywhere because people are always going to eat. I mean, it's not one of these things where you worry about technology. You're always going to have this industry.
You absolutely are. You look at my home county of Christian County. What's our largest employer? It's GSI,
mm-hmm.
Global agriculture-related company that's continuing to expand. That's why global trade's important, but we've got to have the kids who want to get into agribusiness. And what you're doing is phenomenal.
Well, if anybody wants to get involved, there's room for you, please. GSI, I'd love to be bringing stuff to, you know, parks in Decatur in the summer when these kids are out of school. We're working with the Boys and Girls Club. I'm working with a lot of these organizations. So it's going to be a... And the freshman class, this incoming freshman class, will be the very first FFA chapter, the very first class for the Duane Andrews Ag Academy. And if you think about, you know, Duane Andrews, you know, the pioneer that he was, not only in American politics, but in industry and building Archer Daniels Midland. I mean, it's, I think, a fitting name for it.
Absolutely.
All right, good stuff. So how you doing?
I'm great, man.
You have five opponents?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, at this point.
And no primary for the first time, which is nice.
Uh-huh. So you're just coasting.
Well, we're never coasting. I mean, D.C.'s been an interesting place.
We'll get to that. I want to talk about the campaign trail. What do you know about these five people?
I don't know much. I know that no matter what I do in this district, I'm always going to have opposition.
And why is that?
Well, it's a district that that the Democrats in Springfield drew in 2011 to be competitive, to, at that point in time, elect a Democrat. My district over the last 5 years has actually gotten more Republican. You remember my first race? I came in late in the game. We won a very close race. But then...
Well, let me ask you that question. And I'm not trying to give free airtime to your opponents, although they've not been here at all. I don't know that we've heard from any of them. I know there's a gathering at Doherty's tonight where they're having a forum that's open to the public.
Doherty's a great place.
David Gill, who was your original opponent back then in 2012, right? You took office in 2013, correct?
Good.
All right. So that was a really close race. He has now run, what, six times?
He's run for Congress 6 years longer than I've served.
Okay. And yet he has $3,000 cash on hand. You know, what is it about the Democratic Party and him that just doesn't connect?
I'll let those guys figure
out. No, but I mean, it is unusual, isn't it? I mean, you look at it, you would think name ID or just name recognition, he would be the front runner. But clearly he's not, as far as the money people are concerned.
Well, and he's shown in the past time and time again that he may not need the money to win a primary in the Democrat side.
Okay. Do you think that's what will happen?
Oh, I'm not going to speculate because I won't be voting in the Democratic primary. But the good news is that I think that we'll have a very spirited debate with whomever wins that primary to talk about what is best for this district, because this district was drawn to be more of a Democratic district because the folks in Springfield, the state legislators, the folks that work with Madigan and Cullerton over there that drew this map, thought that the blue-collar worker was going to remain a staunch Democratic supporter. And what we've seen in towns like Taylorville, in towns like Decatur and Clinton and others, you have blue-collar workers that have finally been fed up with the National Democratic Party.
Do you think that the party gets that, though? I think Democrats like Andy Menar see that and get that because he's here and he talks to people every day in his Senate district. But I don't think that the leadership gets it at all.
Well, the leadership in certain labor organizations does not get that. I had a conversation in Washington, D.C. with somebody from the IBEW just a few weeks ago. And, you know, the IBEW workers that are at my coal-fired power plants, I've got three in this district, and the nuclear plant in Clinton, we're working so hard to have an all-the-above energy approach and clean energy, but cheap energy for people who want to just turn their lights on and use power, and they're some of the best-paying jobs. All those workers, those voters, they, at the statistics show, they're supporting me.
Okay,
but the leadership of IBEW and D.C., supports the Democrat no matter who they are.
All right, so the national narrative is, I mean, if you just turn on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, and if cable news networks are your gauge as which to determine the public opinion, depending on which network you watch, Trump is can do no wrong and is the Ronald Reagan of 2018. I believe it was the Heritage Foundation yesterday that had a piece that he's accomplished 67% of his agenda quicker than Ronald Reagan ever did. He's 7 points higher than Obama as far as public opinion at the exact same time into their tenure in the Oval Office. Or if you go to this side, he is Hitler and a retrobate and somebody who is unworthy of the office. What's the truth between those two views?
Well, the truth, unfortunately, gets, I think, skewed by the news sources that people decide to watch. I can walk into any room and I can take a quick poll and tell you who this room is. I can ask what station they watch. I can name two or three stations, and I guarantee you I'll know who the Republicans are, I'll know who the Democrats are, and I'll know who those are that are probably identify as independent. We have got to have, that's why I like coming on your show, because it's local broadcasting, you're talking about local issues, and I'm not just saying this, Lindsay, to be nice to Brian, but you talk about the issues that are important to your local community. What we see in national broadcasting now is more of a narrow casting. Because people will go choose what source they want to
hear. And it's all they hear. It's all they consume.
And it's everything that they know they agree with already. So how are they ever going to hear an opposite opinion? Look, I'm not always on the side of Republicans, and many Republicans have criticized me for that in the past. But I will tell you, you don't get a chance to go on outlets like those national media outlets you mentioned earlier to talk about anything that you disagree with or in many cases agree with. I can go on MSNBC like I do, and I will debate their host because they'll think and call me a right-wing conservative. Then I can go on Fox and get into a tiff with Tucker Carlson about immigration. I like that because it shows me that I'm not necessarily somebody who abides by the party lines.
How big a role does the national media play in setting the narrative? I mean, when you look at the guy, your fellow Democrat in Congress who's driving this Trump-Russia thing, he's been on TV. He's done 227 TV interviews since mm-hmm. Trump took office. That seems like an awful lot of time.
It drives the narrative a lot. And politicians, folks in Congress, we know that if you want to drive a narrative, you go to a friendly national news source to get your message out there. And Adam Schiff has done that.
I mean, it seems like an awful lot of national interviews in a year.
It is. I can tell you, I doubt I've been asked to go on 200 times, even counting the ones that I've turned down.
Yeah. So, you know, he's using this for his own political launch pad. Do you think there is anything here to this story? Not that the Russians didn't try to influence an election. I mean, we've done that ourselves, right? I mean, we have interfered in South American countries and propped up leaders. I mean, now you can be cynical about all that and think it's a horrible thing, but that doesn't mean that Trump colluded with anybody to do it. Do you think there's a here from Mueller in this investigation?
I've seen no evidence of any Russian collusion with the president and his campaign. And I've, you know, you look at the memos that were released. I think they are bringing up an issue that the American people should care about, the possible abuses of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act courts.
Sessions said yesterday they were going to investigate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you know what? Let Mueller's investigation play out. But what he hasn't shown me and what he hasn't shown many of my colleagues and the American people yet is this alleged collusion. And what we have to do is let the evidence play out so that the American people can be the judge.
Okay, so but I think most American people, I think if you're a Trump supporter, this is what bugs you. How is it that you were able to conclude that Hillary did nothing wrong in so quick a period of time, and yet this is dragging on and on and on?
Well, that is something that I think needs to be looked at. As a matter of fact, that's part of this memo debate and the abuse of the FISA court by the previous administration. Somebody who, regardless of whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat, if we have anybody in office who uses the bureaucracy, especially the FISA court, to eavesdrop on American citizens, that's mm-hmm. then what's going to happen is we in Congress are going to be forced to change the authority that they have. And unfortunately, that will only hurt us if they're investigating true terrorists throughout this world. And we've got to.
This is the privacy issue that I think most people should be afraid of.
They should be.
Whether you're Democrat or Republican, is having a political arm to this to use however they want to use it to invade your privacy or to surveil you because of political reasons. That should terrify everybody.
Everybody. This is about Americans' civil liberties. And frankly, there are a lot of folks who serve in office at all levels that think government should be.
What do you make of this Loretta Lynch story that Judicial Watch has put out today, that because of their FOIA powers, that they have found that she was using an alias to do official department emails, basically to escape FOIA requests. You know, is this something that's just the way it's done?
No.
Well, I mean, we learned this, right? This was the whole issue about Hillary servers and everything. It almost seems like we know we don't want you to see what we're doing, so we're going to build all these safeguards in so that you never see what we're doing.
I haven't seen the story. I'll have to go look at it. But it just if it's true, it's just one more example of the Keystone Copish behavior.
She used the alias Elizabeth Carlisle in emails that she sent from her official Department of Justice account. So that basically when the press would FOIA information for an email address, she had this email address as an alias.
This is what frustrates me about government. We still have it to a certain extent here in Illinois. Look, Chicago Democrats have made it an art form to intimidate people into voting the right way. And they truly believe that government is beholden to the party. And I guess if you've grown up in that atmosphere, that when you have people move from that atmosphere to Washington, D.C., that behavior is not going to change. And it's examples like this from the last administration that are going to continue to come out, that are not going to be kept classified, and we're going to see how far the abuses of power went.
Okay, we got to take a break. Congressman Roddy Davis is in the studios. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Today, showers this morning turning to cloudy skies and highs near 48. Tonight, clear, lows around 29 for your Friday, sunny highs near 48. And Saturday, more sunshine, highs near 50. It's currently 42 degrees in downtown Decatur. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital offers the most maternity options for your most important delivery. Just as you may be expanding your family, we are expanding the services we offer to provide you with the most comprehensive care options for your newborn. We hope you'll celebrate your newborn's first day with us. We're committed to taking care of your whole family for life. Learn more at stmarysdecatur.com/maternity.
Todd Hendricks is a family man with two children in college, a successful small business owner, and a community volunteer as school board president and assistant football coach for 30 years. Like you, Todd Hendricks sees the problems with our state and offers real common sense solutions. Todd supports Second Amendment rights, fair map redistricting, and pension resolution, not just reform. Family, community, public servant, proven leader. Vote Todd Hendricks for state representative on March 20th.
Paid for by friends of Todd Hendricks.
Hello, I'm Ouija Stewart with the Community Foundation of Macon County, where we connect the philanthropic goals of donors with the needs of our community. It is our passion and commitment to help people find ways to support the causes they care about, to make our community a better place. To us, because is more than just a word. It's an action and a reason. Because education matters. Because health matters. Because arts and recreation matter. Because our community matters. Whatever your cause, be the one to make a difference. You can give back to your community in the form of cash, appreciated stock, life insurance, wills, trusts, real estate, and even farmland. Learn more at endowdecatur.org or make an appointment by calling 429-3000. The Community Foundation of Macon County, because it starts with you.
All right, do you have time to stick around for another segment, or you got to be to the next place?
No, even if Helen wants me out, I'm staying in.
Oh, he acts tough on her. You know that's not how it really goes. He got permission ahead of time from Helen.
You are 100% correct.
All right, we'll have Congressman Davis in for another segment on the other side of news. We got a lot to get to next week. We'll be at spring training. I leave right after the show on Tuesday, so we'll be doing the show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, Florida. If you've never been to spring training, I would highly encourage you to go down. It is such a relaxed atmosphere. You know, it's fun. You get up close to the players. And if with the Cardinals, you know, so many of these players stick around for their entire life. So it's not unusual to run into Bob Gibson or Red Shandies or Ozzie Smith or any of the old greats. They're all there kind of hanging out. Autographs can be had. Pictures can be taken. It's a great time. And there's a hotel right across the street that they built for the stadium. I mean, literally, you don't have to worry about a rental car or anything. You can just go there and have everything you need. It's a blast. And if you can't, then you can do it vicariously through us. We'll be down there doing the show Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So look for videos and photos and all of that from spring training. All right, here's Jeff Daly with your news. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere.
WSOY News Time is 8:29. Macon County Environmental Management counting on a favorable weather forecast for this Saturday as they've scheduled another pop-up electronics recycling event for those who register for an appointment. You can get a jump on your spring cleaning and get rid of those unwanted electronics like TVs, entertainment devices, and computer equipment. Most electronic items will be accepted for free. Now, there is a $10 charge for each TV and computer monitor with a limit of 3 per person. Residents need to register for an appointment online at MaconGreen.com, or you can call the Macon County Environmental Management Department at 425-4505. Also, registration is now open for regularly scheduled electronics collections, which begin with the first collection April 3rd and the next set for April 21st. These collections give residents an opportunity for recycling electronic devices that are banned from landfills per Illinois regulation. For more information, visit MaconGreen.com. More news after Fox News at 8:30.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump tweets this morning, respect Second Amendment, after saying he supports more gun control in a bipartisan meeting with members of Congress.
The president at one point criticized Republicans, saying they were afraid of the National Rifle Association.
They have great power over you people. They have less power over me.
The president called on lawmakers to pass a bill strengthening background checks for gun purchases and said he'd be open to signing a bill that raises the age for all gun purchases from 18 to 21.
Fox's John Decker. Jury selection starts today in the trial of the Orlando, Florida nightclub shooter's widow.
Did she knowingly help? That's key to the prosecution of Noor Salman. Jury selection begins today in federal court in that city, nearly 2 years after Omar Mateen attacked the Pulse nightclub, killing 49 people and injuring dozens.
Fox's Carmen Roberts. Fox News. We report, you decide.
WSOY News Time is May 31. Governor Bruce Rauner is expected to sign a $3.5 billion Medicaid funding plan for hospitals around the state after the proposal was quickly approved yesterday by the House and Senate. Both chambers approved legislation to update its current hospital assessment program in response to federal pressures mandating more Medicaid patients be covered by cost-cutting managed care organizations. Rauner spokesperson Rachel Bold said the legislation is designed so Medicaid payments are distributed based on where services are rendered. She added that the redesign also brings as much federal revenue into Illinois as possible. The House voted 107-7 in favor, Senate approving the funding in a 53-3-1 vote. In sports, Big Ten opened their five-day run at the Garden with Jordan Bohannon leading Iowa past Illinois 96-87 in the first game of the conference tournament. Illinois season coming to an end. They'll next be in action next year in the Maui Invitational. Meanwhile, running back Matt Forte has announced his retirement from playing football after 10 NFL seasons. The 32-year-old had 1 year remaining on his contract with the New York Jets, but says in a statement on Twitter that it was time for the workhorse to finally rest in his stable. He played 2 seasons with the Jets after 8 with the Bears. His 9,796 yards rushing are 33rd on the NFL's career list. Your next news update is coming your way at the top of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media, media made locally.
Hey, if you are in the market to make the most money for your home, Sean Hannity here with some important advice. Now, look, I'm an active investor. I have bought and sold a lot of properties in hot, cold, moderate markets. And one of the lessons I have learned is this. Hire the agent that knows how to create the most demand for your home. Now, if I needed to create demand in this market, no question, there's only one real estate agent I trust if I needed to sell my home. I'm talking about Glenda Williamson. She services Decatur and the surrounding area and attracts hundreds of buyers every week and sells a home on average every 34 hours. Now, because of that, she can guarantee to sell your home at an agreed price and deadline, or guess what? She'll buy it. Our national marketing plan got my attention, and you know what? She'll get your home the attention it needs to sell for the most money guaranteed. Now, if I lived in Decatur or surrounding areas and needed to sell my home, well, I would call Glenda Williamson. So call Glenda, 217-875-8081. That's 217-875-8081, or online at GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. Go there and you can start packing.
We're downtown today asking people how they feel about Illinois state government.
I'm sick of politicians.
Politicians are too busy looking out for themselves instead of me and you.
I want less gridlock and more working together.
Randy Keith is running for state representative because he's tired of the same old politicians doing the same old things. Randy knows it'll take common sense leadership to get Illinois out of the mess it's in. As chairman of the Piatt County Board, Randy Keith balanced budgets while protecting taxpayer dollars. Randy will create jobs with an infrastructure bill that won't raise taxes, and he'll make Illinois more business-friendly to bring better jobs to the state to put people back to work. Randy is sick of politics as usual. He'll implement term limits and independent redistricting. He won't become a career politician. He's promised to only serve 4 years in Springfield. He's the only candidate for state representative endorsed by members of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Randy Keith for state representative. Common sense leadership for us, because it's time to put Illinois back to work.
Paid for by friends of Randy Keith.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Showers before noon today, then highs around 48 degrees and cloudy the rest of the day. Tonight, clear, lows around 30 for your Friday sunshine, highs near 48. And Saturday sunshine, highs near 50 degrees. It is 42 degrees in downtown Decatur.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We'll be back with Congressman Roddy Davis in just a couple of seconds. Right now we head to Benjamin F. Edwards and Jamie Bruner, who's standing by. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. Following a broad pullback on Wednesday, the Dow closed down 380 points to 25,029. For February, the big board was off 4.3%, while the S&P 500 and NASDAQ Composite gave back 3.9% and 1.9% respectively. Investors became more concerned about economic data and the monetary policy outlook expressed by incoming Federal Reserve Chair Jeremy Powell, which may point to an acceleration in the pace of interest rate increases this year. European markets were lower today, with the London FTSE down 0.76% and the DAX in Frankfurt off 1.62%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was down 1.56%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was up 8/32nd, yielding 2.831%. Gold futures were down $11.40 at $1,306.40. Crude oil futures were down 55 cents at $61.08 a barrel. Currently, the Dow is trading at 24,978, a negative 55 points, ADM at 41.43, Ameren 54.45, Caterpillar 152.27, Norfolk Southern 138.80, PPG 112.29, Tate & Lyle 30.87, and Mueller Water 10.95. And I'll close with words from Katrina Mayer. Let your light shine so brightly that others can see their way out of the dark. This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie. As always, we appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Excuse me. Congressman Roddy Davis is in the studios here today. On the financial side of things in life, which is what I feel like the coast pay less attention to, you know, even when times are really bad. Now, I'm not. They have their financial shows that talk about this, but people are seeing a difference in their paychecks already. Yeah. You know, Warren Buffett, Howard's father, came out recently and said that this Trump budget was going to be a boon to this country from an economic point of view. You see American companies with a little bit of pressure from the Trump administration, quite frankly, because I don't think anybody wants to get in his Twitter feed, you know, investing back into jobs and giving bonuses to employees. And then you get somebody like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, who says, well, $1,000 is nothing. I mean, who talks like that?
Well, Nancy Pelosi talks like that.
Nancy Pelosi, $1,000 isn't anything. To a lot of voters, it is.
It's a dinner tab in San Francisco. Yeah. But in Decatur, Illinois, $1,000 is the difference between allowing your kids to play the extra sport they want to play in school, since it costs to be able to be active and to be able to take your kids and your family on vacation. You know, I went and visited a local Walmart in Litchfield to talk about tax reform. And you see a lot of 20, 25-year, 30-year badges on the employees there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is their career. It's not a stepping stone job. They said the first time they've ever had their company invest in them with a $1,000 bonus, $2 an hour increases in wages. They also have now a paternity and maternity policy. If you want to adopt, they'll give you money to go adopt a child. That's companies realizing that lower taxes means they can invest more in people and invest more in our local communities. They're going to capitalize on
this
project.
Okay, so let's juxtapose that with Walmart's biggest competition is Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon is – how is it possible that they pay no federal taxes?
Well, I didn't know Amazon didn't pay federal.
This story's just been out in the last 24 hours.
Well,
I mean, you know, and this is what slays me about the left's sort of continual assault on corporate America, right? You know, that somehow the people who create jobs are the bad guys. I mean, that's the narrative we get over and over and over again.
Amazon will pay federal taxes under this law because we actually got rid of a lot of loopholes. And as a matter of fact, Amazon is growing in a physical footprint in states like Illinois. Down in my district, down in Edwardsville, they've got warehousing facilities. They've some of the best job providers. That investment means they have to pay taxes at the federal level. They're paying state taxes. Amazon is one of the companies that has online ordering where they collect the state taxes.
All right. And most are doing that now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think now what's the debate then? How do we turn that debate into a local level? I know that Councilman McDaniel and others on the Decatur City Council want to try to figure out how to get a piece of pie. Is there a fair answer to that question? Because if I go to Amazon and I buy something, why should I have to pay a local tax to a body that had nothing to do with this transaction?
Well, what happens is when you look at the local tax revenue that somebody from Decatur had – if you went to a local store.
I understand the problem. I'm just saying, why should you be cutting in the city of Decatur on something that they had nothing to do? I mean, if I go to a store that's in the city of Decatur, I expect to pay local taxes on that because of the streets I have to drive on to get there versus, you know, the infrastructure and investment in downtown. I get their case for wanting a cut of that. I don't get their case of getting a cut of something they had nothing to do
with.
Well,
this is mostly state taxes, and what you're talking about.
Well, but local taxes.
But the local sales taxes are the main debate for people like Councilman McDaniel and many in Washington that I work with is to get state sales tax collected, because those state sales tax dollars are divvied up to local communities as part of the motor fuel tax.
But don't you think that millennials are starting to look at taxes like they've never looked at taxes before? Like when I make a transaction with Amazon, what in the world did the state of Illinois have to do with that?
Well, I certainly hope they take into consideration looking at taxes. I wish all individuals, all consumers would look at taxes. That's why when you look at this tax code, I want people to understand that their paychecks went up because we, in the bill that we passed, in the law that President Trump signed, we said to the IRS, change the withholding tables because our constituents, the people that I represent, aren't going to owe Uncle Sam as much taxes. We're going to get money in their pocket now so they can spend it in their families and in their family budget. I hope more people pay attention to the taxes they pay, because then you wouldn't have politicians wanting to raise them so quickly.
All right. Now, here we are in Illinois, where we rank 46th out of 50 states in overall taxes. 46. And you got a guy running for governor in Daniel Biss that I guess his aim is to get us to 47, 48, 49. They're collecting more money than they've ever collected, yet they can't pay the bills.
Yeah.
And how can anyone think that that's not a disaster waiting to happen?
I serve with a lot of people in Washington that have the exact same philosophy, Brian. We are sitting here. I just read a tweet from my good friend Kevin Madden talking about jobless claims in this country.
49-year low.
Mm-hmm. You know what that does for states that have a tax structure that encourages investment?
Then why wouldn't everyone in your office or any other office not see if something's working? If this is working, why don't we do more of this?
Oh, on tax policy, I 100%
agree. On regulations for businesses.
Regulations. We have had historic regulatory rollbacks to allow more competition. But you saw the Democrats in Washington and even locally fight us on the tax bill that is now wildly popular and tried to make it so.
So
it was about crumbs.
I got it. Do you think that that's going to be bad for them come fall? Or do you think they're going to be able to ride this sort of Me Too movement, anti-Trump sort of national narrative? I mean, as a candidate, what do you think is going to be the focus this fall?
I think the focus always is on the pocketbooks of families. And if families that I represent that aren't engaged in the hate and the vitriol on social media every day, they're not getting engaged in going to the political events, they're living their lives and trying to raise a family.
Most people aren't going to political rallies.
No.
Or protesting.
No. The average everyday family that I'm blessed enough to serve, I think, is going to look at their pocketbooks. They're going to look at the increased wages that they could get through their workplace. Or if their workplace isn't investing in them, then they've got more opportunities to go get invested in by somebody else.
All right. I watched this president. It must be vexing, you know, because you can't – there's certainly things you can't defend. There's a petulant attitude that I don't understand. He picks fights that I don't know why. I mean, at some point, you got to be above some of this because you're the president of the United States of America. But I think what I read about him is still true today, and even more so – that the national media never took him seriously, but always took him literally, and his supporters are the exact opposite.
Yeah, I know. You're absolutely right. Look, I've been around this president. I've sat across the table from him. He is the first president in our lifetime that has zero government, zero even military experience. So he is going to be different, and that's what the American people wanted. You and I had talked about that during the last election. The American people wanted something different. They got it. But he is not going to be somebody that can be held accountable on every policy issue because he doesn't have the background in the policies. That's why it looks like he's all over the board. But in the end, it's our job as Congress to put policies that work on his desk so he can sign them.
Congressman, we appreciate it.
Thank you. Good
luck with the rest of the day.
Good luck next week in Florida.
Hey, well, good luck. Hey, hopefully it doesn't rain. That's the only thing we ever worry about. Pretty nice time.
Frank Watson will melt.
There we go. Congressman Rodney Davis in the studios. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.